Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Loudermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com. And today we're tackling a pretty big question and one that at the time of this recording, we're still making the rounds in the news media. Will aliens destroy us? And I need to stress here that we're dealing with a big cosmological question here.
One of the biggest, certainly.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation in this. Like very high-minded speculation. Not like, it's not based necessarily in strict scientific research. You know, that's the whole nature of some of these big cosmological questions.
Yeah, so we're going to be having more of a conversation than tearing apart some study today.
Yeah, so the reason this was making the news is because of a series currently airing on Discovery. Called,
a very fine one.
Yeah, Into the Universe with Stephen Hawking.
You wrote for this, right?
Yeah, I wrote for the website. Did some summaries, a couple of really cool quizzes on aliens and time traveling.
A couple of really hard quizzes.
Yeah, I couldn't even get them right. They're that hard, and I wrote the darn things. So the first episode right out of the gate was aliens. And I'm just going to go ahead and read part of the script here, you know, what Hawking says. He says, "We only have to look at ourselves to see how intelligent life might develop into something we wouldn't want to meet. We humans are already capable of manipulating the course of our own evolution. Exactly the same, presumably, would be true of advanced extraterrestrials. Ultimately, they could halt aging and become virtually immortal. What's more, they might have reached that point many millions of years ago. It might sound unlikely, but if you think about it logically, alien technology should be as extraordinary to us as a rocket ship is to a caveman. I imagine they might exist in massive ships like these," and this is where in the show you get to see like a big giant spaceship, you know. Barely.
Hovering.
Yeah. "Like these, having used up all the resources from the home planet below. Such advanced aliens would perhaps become nomads, looking to conquer and colonize whatever planets they can reach. If so, it makes sense for them to exploit each new planet for materials to build more spaceships so they could move on."
And naturally, with quotes like these, news stories were right on it. And pretty soon they started producing headlines like, "Don't talk to aliens," warned Stephen Hawking from Fox News. Or CNET, "Stephen Hawking, aliens might hate us."
I like that one. So yeah, I think it was kind of a slow news week when all this hit. Like, this was right before, you know, we had some environmental issues pop up and some other big stories hit. So, and you got to fill that science section of the website with something, right?
Right. I don't think Hawking was engaged in fear mongering. That really wasn't his intent. It was more speculation.
Yeah. So we can't stress it enough that Hawking was not saying, you know, go, you know, buy a shotgun and hide in your basement because the aliens are coming to harvest the planet. The argument is simply, hey, if life universally evolves from the chemistry on planets where the, you know, you have the correct minerals, the right temperature range, and there's enough time for it to evolve, then, and you know, if that's true, and if they eventually evolve to the point where they have technology sufficient enough to reach us, then what might they be like? You know, it's kind of in the same way that we figure out how solar systems work by looking at our own solar system. It's the best model we have and the closest. Likewise with life. So if we look at how life has evolved here on Earth, and we use that as a model for how it might have applied, how it might have evolved elsewhere. And, so, you know, you sort of have to look in the mirror and consider what that first contact would be like, you know?
So if you think about aliens, in fact, reaching our planet, then you have to think that such a scientific development would also be accompanied by an ethical development, right? If they're going to reach our planet, they probably value life.
Well, that's a counter argument that's come out. You know, people say they're probably not going to be like some sort of evil, like Borg race intent on destruction.
And you wrote something about the Canadian Defense Minister, Paul Hillier, making this claim. I hadn't seen that. What was the scoop on this?
Well, this is making the rounds, and they're saying that he's claimed that they've been visiting for a while and they haven't done any harm yet. And I actually, you know, there are probably a lot of people out there who would say, hey, you know, I think aliens have come to this planet and they haven't, you know, enslaved us and taken all our resources yet.
I'm sorry. So you think that the...
No, I don't think that at all.
So the Canadian Defense Minister thinks that they're already here?
That's what some news sources are saying. This former Canadian Defense Minister.
I wonder why he's former.
Because I don't know. The aliens might have had something to do with it. But yeah, the argument about the ethics is that, like, an ethical stance would end up taking over or, you know, augmenting what Darwinian evolution started. You know, because it's easy to say it's like, all right, survival of the fittest, you know, look at an organism. You know, big organisms either want to consume other organisms or compete with them for the same resources. And if you just follow that structure, then, you know, even like if you had a starship, you would still be an organism intent on getting more resources. Unless you develop these ethics along the way where you have, you know, high-minded ideas about, yeah, I don't want to destroy another planet because that's an independent, you know, evolution and I don't want to interfere with it. Maybe I just want to observe it, et cetera.
Or it could be maybe I just want to exploit the resources and enslave the people.
Right. It's kind of the whole, like, are aliens going to be touchy-feely or are they going to be jerks, you know?
I personally would prefer them to be touchy-feely.
Well, yeah, and basically Hawking was, I would prefer that too, and I imagine Hawking would prefer that as well.
I think most of civilization would prefer that.
Yeah, but he's just saying, it's like, well, let's look at what we know, what we've seen. The model that, you know, the best model we have shows humans kind of being jerks.
That's true. Nuclear weapons are up there.
You know, exploiting less technologically advanced peoples, etc. Another reason put out there not to fear an alien invasion is that they probably don't know we're here. If you take the Drake equation and you know extrapolate it in a very liberal way, to where we have a lot of different races out there with technology sufficient to either detect our signals or even travel to us, you have to take into account that these places are like thousands of light years away. So they won't even know about us. They won't even be able to detect a signal till about 3000 AD.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the big reasons not to get all up in arms over this is because the universe is so big. The distances are so vast. You know, it takes that long for light to travel. So, and as far as we know, traveling faster than light is impossible. That's the universal speed limit. So they're limited in their ability to even detect that we're here and also in their ability to travel to us in a reasonable amount of time. You know, if you're 3,000 light years away and you can travel the speed of light, it's going to take you 3,000 years to reach us. And what could you possibly want that bad that's worth that kind of trip, you know?
company.
Well, yeah, but then you could get that by just communicating with us, you know? We could just have a long-term relationship, us and the aliens. There's no need to, you know, speed things up.
Yeah, we could
just can't speed things up faster than the speed of light, you know?
We could just text message.
Yeah, exactly.
Send a long email, heartfelt.
Yeah, why would they need to show up?
Well,
though that actually goes into one of the reasons to be afraid, is that if an alien, the distance is so great that if an alien actually showed up at our doorstep, he would have to be, he, she, it would have to be here for something on the planet, like, because everything else could be done via communication, you know? It's like if you're having, like, an email exchange with somebody online, and it's like, oh, this relationship is fine, this is exactly where it needs to be, we're emailing back and forth, and then that person shows up at your doorstep, you call the cops, because there's something up, and that's kind of the argument here. Unless faster than light travel is somehow possible for a ridiculously advanced alien civilization, in which case it's, you know, no big deal for them to show up at your doorstep. So I don't know.
The other thing is that time isn't on our side. Given the age of the universe, which we know to be 13.7 billion years, courtesy of WMAP. Thank you, WMAP. It's more probable that there are intelligent species that are 10,000, a million, even 10 million years more advanced than us, which is kind of a crazy thought.
Yeah.
Technology 10 million years ahead.
Yeah, like they would just be so... I mean, we can't even comprehend that. It's like an ant trying to figure out, like, how, you know, an iPhone works or something.
Right. I mean, they'd be gods and we would be the ants.
Yeah, we would be just at the mercy of the iPhone. Another cool point, and this goes back to the whole alien showing up at your doorstep after an email conversation. Ray Villard pointed this out on the Discovery Space blogs. Have you seen the movie Avatar?
I haven't.
Okay.
Badly want to see it.
All right. Well, this is not a spoiler, but the whole reason that the evil humans come to this alien world is to harvest a special element.
Right.
Called,
I do know that.
Called unobtainium, which...
It's cleverly named.
Yeah,
very
I'd like
cleverly
to see
named.
That on the far future periodic table. But but the thing is, the whole idea is, oh, it's unobtainium. It's this magic element. You can only get one place in the universe, and that's why we're going to do everything in our power, no matter how cruel, to harvest it. But in reality, there's no such thing as unobtainium or anything like this. Like, there's nothing on Earth that aliens could want that bad that would merit that kind of a journey and that much time and effort, unless they are just jerks and want to kick us around.
Well, what about something in the Amazon rainforest, perhaps a very rare cure that is only found deep in the reaches of the Amazon rainforest? And they know they have very little time left because the rainforest is being chopped down at, you know, acres per day, and maybe it's that.
Yeah, but if you have that kind of technology, what could possibly exist in the Amazon rainforest that you couldn't create on your own? You know, you could devise a genetic code for it.
Maybe they're not that good at recreating the natural world, but I guess if you're that far advanced, what do you need with the natural world? You can create anything.
Unless what they want are art, you know, or to communicate with our whales, right?
And the other thing that's really key in our discussion is our concept of aliens, what we imagine aliens to be. Even if they are highly technologically advanced, maybe they're microorganisms. Maybe they're alien microorganisms, which pose the greatest danger to us, to life on Earth.
Yeah, like even if they were to, you know, to again show up at our doorstep, and, you know, whether they were ethical or jerks, what if they had some sort of little illness, you know, hanging around in their bodies that is nothing to them but would just, you know, be chaos for us? Be like War of the Worlds, except the reverse.
Right, and the Spanish conquistadors.
Exactly,
didn't they bring with them some sort of accidental bioweapon? Which...
Yeah, I mean, all the Europeans coming to the New World, I mean, just, you know, they accidental bioweapons all over the place, you know, measles and smallpox.
Accidental bioweapon. That's a funny term.
I mean, it kind of won the battle for the conquistadors. So again, if you look to past models of what it's like when an alien species, such as the Spanish, you know, arrives on an alien world, such as that of, you know, South America, what can happen? People can be jerks. People can carry microbes that their hosts aren't prepared for.
To turn to imperialism, if you want to know what's going to happen between aliens and us, and
that's Hawking's whole argument. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely an excellent thought-provoking question.
Yeah, that's the great thing about it. I mean, it makes us think about the far future, about our place in the cosmos, and look, you know, at ourselves and just what we're capable of. So what do you think? Are you afraid now?
I'm not. I'm curious.
Yeah?
Infinitely curious. What about you?
I used to be afraid. I used to be afraid of UFOs. That I would mainly that I would be abducted, not that I would be that our planet would be enslaved and harvested for its resources. More that they would just come get me.
To me, that seems a little egocentric to think. I mean, why would they pick you?
Well, I was like 13. I mean, everybody's at the center of their own universe at 13. But I, you know, it's like Unsolved Mysteries had all these UFO abductions going on. You know, like that was like half of the program. And so the idea was, if you're looking up into the stars, there you're going to see a UFO, and they're going to know that you saw their UFO, and then they have no choice but to come and get you.
It does seem funny, though. Some of the people who have said that they were abducted by aliens, why? Why would the aliens pick you? If I were an alien, I would pick some famous mind, maybe a head of state, something like that. Really? Just a 13-year-old? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd probably pick up Brian Cox.
Unless it was Ender Wiggins. Can you tell I've been reading my science fiction?
Oh, yeah. You've been reading that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So if you guys have any thoughts on whether aliens are going to destroy us, send us an email at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com.
Yeah, just drop by the website and search for SETI, search for aliens. We have a whole bunch of cool articles about those topics. And we also have a Twitter account. And
do you think aliens have Twitter and Facebook?
Yes. Yeah, they do. I just like friended one on Facebook the other day. Facebook, Twitter, you can find us there. We're Lab Stuff, or search for Stuff from the Science Lab. It'll lead you right to us. Interact with us there. Ask us questions. See what we're up to.
Yeah, that's all we got. Thanks for listening, guys.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, was good!
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Kurt Woodsmith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.